Hi. This week the question continues to be, what does the Bible say about child training? This is part two. Last week we pointed out there were two phases to child training. First, control, and second, teaching. The Bible and common sense teaches that before a child can be properly taught, he must first be brought under control. Also, we noticed the biblical solution to rebellion. When children refuse to submit to the authority of their parents, they are to be chastised with a rod. Did you know that the Bible teaches that an underage child living at home is no different than a slave? The Bible says in Galatians 4, verse 1, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all." The King James Version uses the word servant, but the Greek text specifically uses the word slave. There's a difference between a servant who's hired and a slave that's owned. The child, while he is underage and living at home, is no different than a slave to his parents. Now, listen to how God expects a slave to obey his master. In Titus 2, verse 9, the Bible says, "Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back." Since a child is equal to a slave and his parents are his masters, here's how a child ought to be obeying his parents. They must be obedient. They must please their parents in all things. They are not to answer back. That is, they're not to talk back. If this does not describe the obedience your child renders to you, you need to get him under control so that he can be prepared to receive your teachings. This week, we're going to discuss how to teach the child now that he is brought under control. By the time a child becomes a teenager, the parents have hopefully trained him to be obedient without questioning why. But now it's time to begin giving the reasons for the rules that you have been requiring him to obey. The Bible recognizes there is a proper time to begin teaching reasons that underlie commandments. Exodus 12, verses 26 through 27. Until a child is a teenager, they must have external controls exercised over them. When they become a teenager, they must learn to control themselves internally. This is where some parents fail because they continue extending full external control over their children without giving the necessary teaching that must accompany it. Now, there are five basic steps in the teaching process. First, set the standard by which the child should live. Second, when the standard is broken, rebuke the child. Third, require an admission of guilt. Fourth, forgive the child after he confesses his guilt. And fifth, after you forgive him, punish him, but do not chastise him. Let's just say a brief word about each one of these steps. First, set the standards by which the child should live. In doing this, we should follow the example of God in the Scriptures. When God set standards for Christians, he used very clear and easy-to-understand language. In setting standards, tell the child ahead of time the penalty that will follow if the standard is violated. This is what God does. He warns us ahead of time about the consequences of sin. See John chapter 3, verse 36 as an example. Now, second, when the standard is broken, rebuke the child. To rebuke doesn't mean to yell, doesn't mean to curse at the child. It means to simply tell this child bluntly that they did wrong. Also, rebuke carries with it a warning that such behavior cannot be repeated. Read Luke 17, verse 3. Third, require an admission of guilt. Unless a child admits he's guilty of violating a rule, then any punishment that may be given to him will cause resentment. But if he admits he's guilty, then he'll accept the punishment because he knows he deserves it. Requiring a child to admit guilt has no bearing on how the child feels or displays emotions. Some people are guilty of crime, but they don't feel guilty. Others feel guilty when they're really not. Admitting guilt has no bearing on a child's feelings. It simply means that the child admits the fact that he has broken the standards of his parents. He may not like the standards, and he may think that they are unfair, but he must admit that he has broken their standard. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 teaches this principle. Any child who is guilty but will not admit to it is rebelling, and rebellion, as noticed in our first study, requires chastisement with a rod, Proverbs 23, 13, and 14. Fourth, forgive the child after he confesses guilt. Forgiving the child means the parent will no longer treat the child as a guilty violator who is living in rebellion. In Luke 17, verse 3, the Bible says, "If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him." Although this passage concerns brethren in the church, it's also true of parents and their children. If a child repents, forgive him. Don't hold his misbehavior against him any longer. And fifth, after you have forgiven him, punish him, but do not chastise him. Punishment is generally equated with chastisement, but the two are completely different. Chastisement is the infliction of pain with a rod to force submission and to control rebellion. Punishment is the just penalty for the crime committed. For example, suppose a child breaks a lamp by throwing a temper tantrum. By doing this, the child is rebelling against authority and needs to be chastised with a rod to conquer the rebellion. Proverbs 22, verse 15. However, if the lamp is broken by carelessness because the child was throwing a ball in the house, then he must be punished. First, set the standard you expect the child to live by, and in this case, no baseball throwing in the house. Next, when the standard is broken, rebuke the child. Tell him bluntly he has broken the rule, not supposed to throw baseballs in the house. Third, require him to admit that he is guilty of violating the rule. Number four, if he refuses to admit the obvious, he's rebelling and needs chastisement. If he admits he is guilty, then forgive him. And fifth, he must finally be punished. Even after forgiveness, the lamp is still broken. Somebody has to clean up the mess and pay for a new lamp. Require the child to do this. By paying for the lamp with his own money, he learns that he's responsible for his own actions, and he will learn to be more careful next time. If he can't afford a whole brand new lamp, at least make him pay for part of it. Two of the greatest problems with children growing up in America is that they are not being taught respect for authority, and they are not being taught responsibility for their own actions. When these children mature, they turn into adults that exhibit these same qualities. They turn into adults who have no respect for authority and law, and they take no responsibility for their own actions. They continuously blame others for their own misconduct. How parents train their children today will determine the fate of this country tomorrow. The only sure methods of child training are the ones God gave us in His inspired book, the Bible. Well, thanks for listening to our message this week. We invite you to visit our website at www.willofthelord.com. And there you may download the notes and the audio file of the message you just listened to. We invite you to call again next week when we consider a new subject on Bible Talk.